Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
We visit now with Eric Zorn, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, a weekly newsletter with commentary and comedy and more. You'll be signed up for free if you like, if you just email ericzorn at gmail.com. Hi, Eric Zorn. How are you today?
I'm good, John. How are you?
Hey, speaking of Bruce Rauner, the former governor had his portrait unveiled in Springfield. Why were you writing about that this week?
Well, I'm going to be writing about it in tomorrow's edition. And it's essentially, you know, Rauner was governor, one-term governor, immediately preceding J.B. Pritzker. And it's tradition in Illinois for there to be portraits of the governors in the Hall of Governors in the Capitol there in Springfield. And, you know, Rauner gave a little news conference and he ducked all kinds of questions about politics, which is probably, you know, the dignified thing to do at this point rather than come back and criticize your successor and so on. But the article in the Sun-Times about this notes that all the governors, all the former governors of Illinois are there except for Rob Blagojevich, because in 2010, the General Assembly passed a new law that prohibited public funds from being used to make Blagojevich's portrait. And obviously, you know, Blagojevich at the time was in prison and convicted of felonies and was a disgrace, right? But as I'm thinking about it, I mean, I hadn't really given it much thought when I was reading about Rauner's portrait. I thought, you know what? There ought to be a portrait of Blagojevich hanging in that Hall of Governors. He was the governor, and you can't complain about other people wanting to erase unpleasant parts of history if you're not willing to embrace unpleasant parts of your own history. I think that the General Assembly should okay a portrait of Blagojevich, and we're going to have to deal with it. We're citizens of Illinois, elected Governor Rod Blagojevich twice. And, you know, it was not a good decision, pretty clearly, but he was the governor. And to sort of deny that history by denying him a place in the Hall of Governors seems really small and petty and ahistorical. So I think they ought to, maybe someone could volunteer rather than take, there's no public funds can be used, but maybe you can get an artist. Scott Stantis could probably pull off a really wonderful satirical portrait of Blagojevich in about half an hour. But I would love to see Blagojevich put there in the Hall of Governors because we elected him governor, and there he should be.
Well, it does seem like the historic timeline is incomplete then if you've got all of these other governors. But is there one of George Ryan and Otto Kerner and Dan Walker? Are they all up in the Hall of Governors or wherever?
I believe they are all there, yes. They all did time, some of them for things they did while in office, some things they did before they were in office, some things after they were in office. But, yeah, we have a lot of governors who've made license plates, so to speak. So, it's like that's our history. And
well, then I guess this tells us where you land on statues, road names, things like that in Chicago, Eric?
Sort of. I mean, statues are different because it's not like when you have a Hall of Portraits, you've got every governor, you've got a historical timeline there. I think the statues are sort of different if you're saying we're going to pick one person to honor. A statue is definitely an honor. I'm not sure it's so much an honor to have your portrait up in the Hall of Governors. It is fact. It's history. I do feel somewhat differently about statues. I think statues should be constantly evaluated and we should be very careful about who we put up statues to. So many figures in history are so deeply flawed that becomes problematic. It's one of those, you know, never-ending debates about whether, you know, someone was a man or a woman of their time, or whether they are inherently evil. Just looking at the, you know, even for their time, they were bad people.
Has Donald Trump's portrait been officially hung or unveiled at the White House? Is there one of him wherever the portraits of the presidents are?
I am not sure about that.
I would have known what it looked like. So the last one I have in mind is of Obama, and Lord knows that was a big deal, the former first lady and the former president. I don't remember now. I don't have in my mind an image of Melania and Donald Trump. One wonders if, say, there is such a portrait and he is convicted on felony criminal counts, if the portrait would have to come down or not, or do you leave it up?
I would say no. I would say if you've got a statue of Trump in your hometown, it should probably come down if he's convicted of these crimes. But when you've got, I'm pretty sure Nixon has his portrait up there in the president's gallery in the White House, and Nixon's only has no felony convictions, arguably because Ford pardoned him. Gerald Ford pardoned him, so he was a fairly big rogue himself. So, you know, I think there's a difference between a historical record, like a hall of portraits, and statuary, and even street names.
John Cass used to write for the Chicago Tribune as well. Both of you now are active on other platforms writing about events of the day. John Cass seems to be suggesting that the indictment of Donald Trump is actually an effort by the current president, Joe Biden. What are you reading and what are you saying about that?
As I recall, I mean, Cass, what he wrote today, or whenever he wrote, I read it today, was that Biden ordered that his chief political rival, Donald Trump, should be criminally indicted in the hopes of removing him as a political candidate in the 2024 election. I think that's wrong on a whole bunch of levels. Number one, if you remember, Merrick Garland, who is the attorney general under Joe Biden, it specifically removed himself from consideration and appointed a special prosecutor. Now, the idea that this Biden, who otherwise they consider to be doddering and senile, is out there orchestrating this multi-level plan to get an independent counsel to convince a grand jury to indict Trump is fairly absurd. And also, when you look at the raft of evidence that the indictment contains, 37 felony counts about Trump and how he not only kept these documents, but lied about them and tried to conceal them. It's completely unlikely.
Okay, let me push back on that right now, though, because Biden appointed the attorney general and the attorney general appointed the special prosecutor. So you don't have to be a genius or a doddering fool to connect those dots. It's his guy who appointed his guy. And while Biden has been very quiet about it, I see the connection there. They're all sort of from the same team. There's that, right?
Well, there's the idea that there's no suggestion that I can see that Biden ordered this to happen. They wanted to keep some distance politically, which is why they didn't have Merrick Garland, U.S. and the Justice Department go after it. They delegated it to a special prosecutor. Now you can say, well, that's their guy; they chose him. But he's known for playing things pretty much down the middle. He also had to convince a grand jury in Florida to indict Trump. And I don't see where that makes any kind of particular argument about the strength of the evidence in this case, which looks very powerful. You look at what Bill Barr said, the former attorney general for Donald Trump. He said, if half the things are true, this guy's going to prison. And I would guess that most of them are true. So I don't really see this argument that this is some sort of sinister plot by Biden. And furthermore, I think Biden would like nothing better than to run against Trump at this point. I don't think he wants Trump out of there. I think he wants to run against Trump again because if anything, Trump's a much more damaged brand than he was in 2020. And that's when Biden beat him by what, 7 million votes, something like that.
So what do you say though to the
notion?
What do you say to the notion though? I mean, 37 counts. Seven charges. I wonder, though, if it really is, in the grand scheme of things, it's one thing. He had some stuff. He hid it from an attorney. The attorney said, we've turned everything in. Trump knew well they hadn't. So that's the thing that this is all about. And since there's no evidence that it was injurious to the United States, it was reckless. Maybe it could have been. But Mick Mulvaney told our News Nation yesterday or the day before that this really falls into the category of a technical violation, that even if he's found guilty, nobody needs to go to jail over this. It was sloppy, but it wasn't as bad as 37 count sounds.
It's the lying about it that really got him. I mean, people have said, and there was a pretty good piece by Lynn Sweet in the Sun Times, I believe it was this morning, we're talking about the fact that if he had just been, they said, hey, those documents aren't yours, turn them back over. And he said, okay, you know, I'll turn them back over. Whatever we can find, I'll give them to you. This is what Biden did. It's what Mike Pence did. It's what Obama did. I mean, this happens. You get things mixed up and you return them and you're fine. And what happened was that Trump engaged himself in a pretty elaborate conspiracy to lie to the FBI and everybody else about what he had, and his reasons for keeping them are not in accordance with federal law. And you've got, you can't just say, well, you would have many people who would be in prison already for what he did. The fact that he's the ex-president is insulating him from a lot of that. It's giving him some delays. Mm. But these are serious crimes, and they have to be. You can't just be like, oh, well, he was just fooling around with classified documents. You can't have that. And so, I think this is much more serious than Mick Mulvaney seems to think it is.
The question, next, and boy, we've got a lot of ground to cover here before we know exactly what happens, is what should the punishment be for something like that? But that assumes a conviction, and we don't have that yet. We really don't have much. The president was at the courthouse today. He's going to talk tonight. We'll find out more then, and we'll record the Mincing Rascals podcast tomorrow. I'm out of time today, Eric. It's always nice to talk to you.
Talk soon, John. Thanks.